doing the book of Shemuel. Shaul was sitting on the hilltop with his spear, and he had challenged his servants and said, "You're all in cahoots with David, huh? That's why none of you thought you should tell me when David made a pact with my son against me. I guess all of you are waiting to see what gifts he'll give you." And under this pressure, Doeg HaDomi caves. And he says, "I saw the son of Jesse, I saw the son of Yishai coming to Nov, to Achimelech, the Kohen Gadol." And Achimelech asked Hashem on his behalf, and he gave him food, and he gave him the sword of Goliath. And King Saul summons Achimelech, and he summons all the Kohanim. And he says, "Listen here, son of Achituv." Achimelech says, "I'm here, my master." He says, "Why have you joined the rebellion against me with the son of Yishai? Why'd you give him bread? Why'd you give him a sword? Why did you represent him in asking Hashem on his behalf? Why have you joined him to be a part of those who ambush me today?" And Achimelech says, But David was your most trusted servant. He's even your son-in-law. And he listens to whatever you want. He's the most honored person in your house. What do you mean I shouldn't ask God on his behalf? I've always asked God on his behalf. Please don't hold this against me. I didn't know anything was going on here." And Shaul said, "You will die, Achimelech, you and your family." And with that, Shaul decrees that the city of Nov should be executed. When Shaul was sent to kill out the people of Amalek, so Shaul said, "How could I kill all these innocents?" A heavenly voice said, "Al tehi tzadik harbe. Don't be so excessively righteous." Hashem told us how righteous to be. Don't try to overdo it. And now when Shaul decrees to execute all the people of Nov, a heavenly voice came out and said, "Al tirsha harbe. Don't be excessively evil." This action of Shaul's is the worst action in his life. If he lost his throne over the sacrifice he brought too early, if he lost his right to the dynasty over leaving Agag alive and not killing out Amalek, he loses his right to live when he kills the people of Nov. And so Shaul now orders the people of Nov executed. It is a little bit, I don't know, perplexing. Doeg, who's going to do the execution, is not going to have a portion in the world to come. Shaul does have a portion in the world to come. He didn't do the actual execution. He ordered it done, but he didn't do it. And so Shaul is punished. He will pay for it with his life, but he has a portion in the world to come. Doeg will not have a portion in the world to come. So Shaul turns to the soldiers next to him. He tells the generals that are there, Avner ben Ner and Amasa ben Yeter, he tells them, "Kill the Kohanim." And Avner and Amasa don't move. And Shaul says, "I said something." And they said, "When Yoshua was appointed our first king, he was told, Kolish asher yamre et picha yumat. Whoever does not obey your commandments will get the death penalty. Rak chazak ve'ematz. Only if you be strong. Only if you be strong in Torah. What you're commanding now is against the Torah. And so we're not responsible to listen to you, even though you're the king." When Yoshua was given the responsibility as king, that anyone who goes against his decree will die, that was with the word rak, on condition that he goes with the Torah. You're not with the Torah, we're not with you. And even though Shaul gets the stern warning from his two top generals, he turns to Doeg and he says, "Doeg, you fish. A fish gets caught in its mouth. You, Doeg, got caught in your mouth. You're the one who testified. So you surround the Kohanim and kill them." And that's what Doeg does. He kills 85 men, and then he leads the destruction of the city of Nov, the men, the women, the children, the babies, the oxen, the mules, the sheep. Suddenly it's okay to kill everyone. Achimelech had one son. His name was Eviatar. He ran away to David. And he told David that all the Kohanim of Nov were killed. And with this we have the destruction of Nov. Nov, remember the center of worship of Hashem had gone from Gilgal to Shiloh. On the day Eli died, Shiloh was destroyed. The Philistines continued their attack to Shiloh and destroyed Shiloh. Nov was the center of worship until this day. And on this day that Shaul destroyed or ordered the destruction of Nov, so Nov stops being the center of worship and the center will shift to Gibeon. Gibeon is a city not far from where Beit El is. It's in Benjamin territory. Gibeon, let's see if we can find it on the maps. It's interesting that all of these places are in central Israel.
Why does it take a long time that the culture is in?
Lo Shomea?
Why does it take a long time that the center of Israel is going to be Jerusalem?
Oh, that's a good question. Here you go. This map, I should give them right here, north of Jerusalem, the northern tip of Benjamin territory. So Gibeon is right here. Okay, in Benjamin territory. So that's interesting. You had Shiloh. Okay, now you have Gibeon. South of Shiloh, Gibeon. It's between Shiloh and Jerusalem. Okay, so Eviatar reports to David what happened. And David tells Eviatar, when I saw Doeg there, I knew he'd report me to Shaul. I have the responsibility of your father's family. Sit with me, because the one who wants you dead wants me dead. And so you're safe with me. We're both on the run from the same person. David was told that southward in Judean territory, let's see it on this map, a place called Keilah, the Philistines are attacking the granaries. So David asks Hashem, should I travel south to Keilah to help my brethren? And Hashem tells him, go. And so he will go. Let's see if he find it. You find it on a map. Oh, find it. Keilah.
Keilah?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, you found it. Very good. Okay. So David goes out to Keilah. You guys see it on the map here? I put it here. East of Ashkelon, in the middle of Israel. Ashkelon borders on the sea, so you go eastward to Keilah. So Hashem tells him, go, I'll let you win the Philistines. So again, the Philistine territory is here on the border of the Mediterranean. They go out into Keilah. David comes and fights them and protects his relatives, the people of Judea, in Keilah. And he has a great victory. Shaul hears that David has been sighted in Keilah. Keilah is a city that is fortified. So Shaul says, oh, must be God's given him into my hands. So he prepares his people to go down to Keilah. Notice what's going on here. He did not go to battle to save them from the Philistines. He does go to battle now to capture David. And David was well aware that Shaul is interested in having him dead. So he asks Eviatar, ask Hashem, you have the special apron you brought with you, and ask him, are the people of Keilah going to give me into King Saul's hands? And Hashem said, so first he asked, is Saul really coming? And Hashem said, yes. And then David said, are the people of Keilah going to protect me or give me over? And Hashem said, they will not protect you. They will hand you into King Saul's hands. And so David takes his 600 men, and they leave. Shaul hears that David left Keilah, so he stops his pursuit. David is out in the desert. And again, he is in Judean territory, Midbar Zif. You find me Midbar Zif here. It's also in Judean territory. So David is in the desert of Zif among his brethren in Judean territory. And Yonatan goes out to strengthen David, and he tells him, don't worry, my father won't catch you. You're still going to be king, and I'll be under you. I'll be your second in command. And my father knows that that's so. They make their pact again, and Yonatan goes home. David's own tribe, the people of Zif, come to Shaul, and they tell him, you know, David is by us. And if you want him, you could have him. Shaul says, blessed are you to Hashem, you've had such mercy upon me. David will compose many chapters in Tehillim about his relatives, the Zifim, who were underhanded with him. They treated him as though they loved him, but behind his back, Shaul told them, map out his hiding places. He's a very cunning person. So instead of coming now to get him, you map out where he has all his hideouts, and then you'll come and give it to me, and then I will catch him. No, that's Tzin. Midbar Tzin ad Rehov Lebo Chamat. No, Zif. And so they, David and his men are in the desert next to the city of Zif, and the people have mapped out all his hiding places and secret paths, and they bring it to Shaul. And now Shaul comes with his men, and David starts going on the run. Everywhere he goes, Shaul is ready for him. And so David has Shaul hot on his tracks, and he has nowhere to go, because Shaul has already prepared for all of David's plans. Shaul is also no small general. So they reach a point where David is on one side of the mountain, and Shaul is on the other side of the mountain. And David makes a mistake. He climbs up the mountain to run, and Shaul does not follow him. Instead, what Shaul does is he orders his men to surround the mountain. David is sitting on top, and Shaul and his men surround the mountain. And they start closing in on David. And David sees that there is no way out. He looks down, and he sees he's stuck. Him and his men there at the top of the mountain, but Shaul and his men are closing in on him. And the pasuk says, Vayehi David Nechpaz Lalechit. David was in a rush as he was running. Nechpaz. We have a word like that in Tehillim. Ani amalti be chofzi. I said, as I was in this rush, he's talking about this moment, Kol ha'adam kozev. David the Melech said, at this moment, everyone's a liar. Our sages say that David was up on top of the mountain. He looked down, and he saw Shaul and his men closing in on him. He said, I'm finished. There's no way I'm out. There's no way out. And so at that moment, David said, Kol Adam, every human being, is Kozev, is a liar. Even Shmuel promised me I'm going to be king. Where's my kingship now? Everyone's liars. Even the prophet Shmuel, he lied. You see, I'm not going to be king. I'm going to die up here. And David is right. It's over. There is no way David could get out. And so the pasuk tells us, Umalach ba el Shaul lemo. A malach came. Two opinions among our sages, whether it was an angel or a messenger. He came to Shaul and he said, you've been busy down here in Judean territory. Got news for you, King Saul. The Philistines took advantage and they're conquering all of Israel. You got nowhere to go back to. They are spreading out over all of the land. You took the army down here. The Philistines have taken advantage. And Shaul has no choice. He has to go back to fight the Philistines. He has David within his grasp. He would have had him. But Hashem made it that he would not be able to have him. David went out to the desert of Ein Gedi. This time, Shaul doesn't take all his men. He takes 3,000 men. And he's going to catch David. There's a cave. And deep inside the cave, David and his men are hiding. Shaul goes into the cave. He wants lehaseich et raglav, which can mean lehaseich, could mean like nisuch, to pour out his legs, which is a clean way, a euphemism for saying he went to take care of his bodily needs. Or it means lehaseich from the word schach, to cover his feet. That when Shaul relieved himself, he was very modest. So that even as David and his men are sitting inside and Shaul is right next to them taking care of his needs, he is so modest he covers himself all over. But there's no one there. Yes, one of Shaul's great traits was his modesty. So Shaul is sitting down to take care of his needs. His men are outside. He's in the cave. And David and his men are deep inside waiting. So David's men say to him, this is the day God promised you. He said he will give your enemy in your hands. You'll do whatever you see fit with him. And David crawls towards Shaul. He has his knife in his hand. And as he approaches Shaul, he takes the knife and slices off the corner of Shaul's coat. He does it all quietly. And then David feels very bad with what he just did. And he comes back to his men and he says, I swear by Hashem, I can't do that. Saul is a man anointed by Hashem. I can't extend my hand against one who's anointed by Hashem. And David's men tell him, you're crazy. We've been running away from him. We have to take him down. And David says, you try taking him down, I'm taking you down. Vayishasa David et anashav. It says David cut his men in two. He threatened them that he'd slice them in half, anyone who tries to touch him. And he didn't let them touch Shaul. Shaul finishes what he's doing and he leaves the cave. David is very impressed with Shaul's modesty. And David comes out of the cave. And he calls Shaul and he says, my master, the king. Shaul turns around. There's David. He's been here to chase him. David just walked out of the cave. David bows before him. And David says to Shaul, why do you listen to men who will tell you that I want you dead? Look, Hashem gave you in my hands in the cave. And one of my men said to kill you. And I had mercy over you. And I said, no, I will not extend my hand against one anointed by Hashem. My father, look. Look, I have the corner of your coat in my hand. Because as I cut the corner of your coat and I didn't kill you, I want you to know that I am not interested in doing you any harm. I've done nothing wrong to you. And you are hunting me to kill me. May Hashem judge between me and you. And may Hashem take my revenge from you. And my hand will not be against you. As the ancient allegory says, from wicked people will come out wickedness. Not from my hand will come out against you. After whom have you gone out, the king of Israel? After whom are you chasing? After a dead dog? After a flea? May Hashem judge between me and you. And may Hashem see and fight my fight and judge me from you. David finishes his speech. And Shaul looks at him and says, is that your voice, David? And Shaul starts crying. And he says to him, you see, you're more righteous than I. Because you've done me good and I've only done you bad. And today you've shown how much good you've done that Hashem gave me in your hands and you didn't kill me. And when a man finds his enemy and he sends him off in peace, so Hashem sees that and pays him back in good. And so Hashem should pay you in good for what you've done today. And now I know that you will be king, because Shmuel the prophet had told him when he tore his coat, Shmuel said, the man who tears your coat will be king after you. Now that David tore his coat, cut his tzitzit, his four-cornered garment, David shows him that he's the one, and the kingdom of Israel will be in your hands. Swear to me that you will not annihilate my seed, and you will not go after my family, which is what every king would have naturally done. Because Shaul's family were actually David's enemies. And they played it out. Later on, David sees them going out against him. David promises, and Shaul goes home, and David goes to fortified territory. Our sages tell us that when David called Shaul Avi, my father, we learn from that how much honor we owe our father-in-law. Shaul was David's father-in-law. And David calls him Avi, my father. From here we learn that that's how one should call their father-in-law. Father. Mother-in-law, mother. People sometimes complain that their in-laws don't deserve it. They're not such nice people. So, a guy once told me the following story. He was engaged to a girl, and her father was against the wedding. So he called him in for a meeting. He sat down in the guy's office, and the guy said, let me show you something. And he opened the drawer and pulled out a gun. And he said, he pointed the gun to the guy and said, you want to leave? You don't marry my daughter. Goodbye. And he put away the gun. He married the daughter. And then he asked me, am I supposed to honor the man? Oh, this is a real story. I said, does he want any contact with you? He said, yeah, now he wants contact. Now he's come to terms with the idea. I said, yeah. He said, prove it. I said, here's your proof. What do you mean, prove it? I don't know if it's a mafia. It's a certain culture. There are places where this is like half normal. To us, it's crazy. We're right. Don't get me wrong. We're right. It is crazy. But so here we see from David, his father-in-law has taken a whole army to kill him and has tried to kill him more than once. And from here we learn the respect that he chose him. He calls him Avi, my father. Shmuel passes away. And that means that Shaul is soon going to pass away as well. And Rosh Hashanah comes around. And there's a man who's had his shepherds right near David's men. And David has protected them throughout their stay in the desert. And now that Rosh Hashanah is coming, he's going to shear his sheep. And he's making a big party with a lot of meat. And he's serving all his shepherds. So David sends word to the man. The man is a very inappropriate person. His name is Naval, derelict. And his wife is a female prophet. Her name is Avigail. How'd she end up with a husband like that is a good question. According to some, this man imagined that he would ultimately be the king of Israel. He was so arrogant. He was so wealthy. He was so powerful. So David sends 10 lads to Naval and he says, we wish you peace. We wish you that next year you should come to this time, to Rosh Hashanah, and be in peace as well, and celebrating again. You and your family and your home, everyone should be in peace. Now we hear that you're making this party. We took care of your men all the time they were in the desert next to us. Ask them, you'll see. And so we're asking that David, your servant, your son, send him something from the party you're making. So they tell the man these things in the name of David. And Naval says to the servants, who is this man David? Who's the son of Ishai? I've heard today there are a lot of slaves that go against their masters. So he's mocking David, who has been anointed as king. You think I'm going to give my bread and my water and my meat and I'm going to give it to people who I don't even know where they're coming from? I don't even know what is even a kosher Jew, this David. And so He gave David's men to eat, but he sends them off with this scorn of David. David gets this message that night, and he tells his men, everyone should put on their sword. David puts his sword on last. Our sages say they weren't wearing swords. They were discussing halacha. David asks them, halachically, is he considered one who rebelled against the king? So his court comes to a ruling, he is. And David expresses his opinion last, that he is. From here we learn that when a court comes to ruling on matters of the death penalty, we ask the smallest student first. And we work our way up. This way no one's pressured to give the answer that the smarter students gave. So we always start from the smallest and we work our way up. The last to give an opinion is the smartest, the biggest Talmid Chacham. So David gave his opinion last. And they all decide that Naval deserves the death penalty for the way he spoke to David. David takes 400 men, he leaves 200 to watch over his stuff, and he's headed to wipe out Naval and his home and take his wealth. Naval's wife, Abigail, gets word from one of the lads. She said, the lad tells her, you know, David sent us a servant, he sent us messengers, he wished us well, and the master, Naval, he treated them very not nicely. And they're good people. They always treated us nicely. And they protected us by day, by night. Whenever we were next to them, things went well for us. I highly recommend the way the master spoke. Well, we're in for a lot of trouble from David now. I recommend you make sure to send them something, because things can turn real bad real fast now. So Abigail quickly takes 200 loaves of bread, 2 large flasks of wine, 5 sheep, and 500 dry wheat, which is was like their sweets of the day, and 100 dry grapes and 200 dry figs. And she takes the donkeys loaded with all these goodies, and she's on her way to David. And she doesn't tell Naval. And David is heading down the mountaintop on this side, and Abigail and her men are headed down the mountaintop on the opposite side. They're going to meet in the valley. And as they're going, David says, all this time I've been taking care of his men. What a worthless thing I've done. I always took good care of him, and now he's given me evil in exchange for all the good I've done for him. So Hashem should do to all my enemies. I'm not going to leave a single person alive by the time the morning, the sun rises in the morning. And Abigail hears all of this. So Abigail rushes towards David. She throws herself at David's feet and she bows before him. And David says, wow, who's this beautiful woman who came here? He asks her, are you a woman who's looking to get married? So she takes out a cloth and she says, can you tell me, am I pure or not pure right now? What's the ruling on this cloth? So he says to her, it's nighttime, how could I see what's the cloth, if it's kosher or not kosher? So she says to him, it's nighttime, how could you rule whether someone gets a death penalty or not? So he said, well, we didn't need to bring a ruling of a court. If a person rebels against the king, then they get the death penalty without convening a court. I didn't have to convene a court in order to decide he gets a death penalty. So she says, well, I understand you're anointed as king, but who uses your currency? Did you mint a currency that the whole world uses? So he said, no. So she said, well, isn't the halacha that until you mint a currency, until you have your currency that everyone uses, you don't yet have the title king, that you can kill someone who rebels against you? But this will pick up, Ezat Hashem, next week.